This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
It's Kelly and Ramya. Thanks for sticking around here. We're in the middle of hour two, give or take, getting ready for another conversation, one of several conversations we have here on the show. Every weekday, 2 p.m. Eastern time is when you can catch us live on AMI TV. Grant Hardy and myself, Ramya Amadhin, are hosting today, and we're going to check in with Alicia Yardley from our Human Resources Department here at AMI to talk a little work.
Hi, I'm Alicia Yardley, your HR specialist. Join me for career and employment advice right here on Kelly and Ramya.
Alicia, today we're talking about something near and dear to our hearts here at AMI. the performance review. But really, we're talking about performance management here. So what exactly is it?
So performance management, the formal definition is the process of continuous communication and feedback between an employee and manager towards the achievement of organizational objectives. So in plain English, it really is employees and managers working together to know whether employees are doing the work they're supposed to be doing at the level they're supposed to be doing it, how employees are doing overall in their role. And almost every organization has some form of performance management or another, whether it is, you know, a formal process like, you know, in a bank perhaps, or an informal process like, you know, startup potentially, but they all, almost all of them have some form.
Yeah.
Why should employees care, aside from just not wanting to invoke the wrath of their employer perhaps, but in general, why should employees care about performance management?
Yeah, it's a question I've gotten many times over my years in HR, and it's really for us, you know, in HR, it is a really good opportunity for employees to measure themselves like against, you know, their use it as a yardstick to measure themselves in terms of how they are doing, to think about development opportunities, their strengths, potentially their areas for improvement. And so it can be, you know, like a point of personal pride if you really want to know where you're excelling, where maybe you need some improvement. It is really good to care about performance management. And also performance management is really tied to your, what we call employee life cycle. So that's, you know, performance management is tied to training and development opportunities for you, whether there's a promotion, you know, in some organizations. And so it is a really relevant concept to every employee.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair, right? Like to have something that you can regularly check in on for accountability, but also just as reminders to, I guess, different like milestones and such, and keep track of how things are going. And it can feel very supportive to have it. So what are different performance management programs or tools that people can use?
Yeah, so different organizations do different things. Some performance management systems are like, some companies do what we call pay for performance. And so you're rated, and that is directly tied to your salary increase the following year, or directly tied to a bonus potentially. Some organizations don't do pay for performance. A lot of nonprofits do not. The government does not. So there are like different kinds of performance management tools. One of the performance management tools everybody's aware of is a performance review or performance appraisal. And then there are, you know, conversations to be had. So if you're ever like concerned about your own performance, or you want to talk to your manager, that's part of performance management.
Hey, let's delve right into the performance review slash appraisal, and let's talk a little bit about that as a tool, what it is, why it's useful.
Yeah, so performance management is, like, as I said, it's kind of that overarching concept. A performance review or a performance appraisal is something that you complete as part of performance management. Usually they are set at set times during the year, whether it's the fiscal year or the calendar year. Usually companies will do a, like, beginning of the year objective setting meeting, and then a mid-year, and then a year end. Some companies might do it slightly differently. Some performance reviews are a little bit more employee driven, where employees are saying, you know, here's what I want to do to contribute to the department, to align with our departmental objectives and what the department wants to accomplish. Some of them, it's very top down. So your manager is saying, you need to be doing this year. And it's something that you complete and you talk to your manager about during those set times.
So you talked about the two different kind of approaches, right, to performance management, one of them being tied to your salary and the other one not necessarily. So is that the direct correlation for why employees would be graded, the incentive?
Yeah. Not always.
Okay.
It's funny. I have a friend who was saying to me, he said to me, like, a few times, you know, if I knew that I would be basically getting, like, grades, like a report card as an adult, I probably would never start working. And it's, yeah. And I know a lot of people feel like they're being graded. It's really, you know, it's not a referendum on you as a person, or usually even you as an employee. It's really, you can use that as, of course, part of pay for performance. But it's even just as, like, a point of, you know, pride or a yardstick. So maybe somebody that wants to learn a new skill, they can see how they're doing in picking up that skill. You know, for example, like budgeting, or, you know, you're trying to learn a different kind of software or a soft skill like communication skills. You can see how you're doing. You can see how you're developing, what development opportunities might still be available to you. So it's not just grades connected to money all the time. It is connected to a point of personal pride as well.
No, it's interesting, right? Because I feel like because work, you know, literally takes up the majority of our adult waking lives, we often talk to our colleagues more than our families. I would imagine you have some people that just kind of, like, I clock in and do my thing, clock out. You probably have a lot of people who these grades are really tied into their sense of self, like their sense of sort of competence about themselves as a person related to their lives, right? Wonder how you can kind of separate that out a bit. But I guess it's like you said, just remembering that it's more just a reflection of your current position in your company and how you're doing in relation to the rest of your company.
I would agree. It is very hard to separate for a lot of us. You know, I've been doing HR for a while. I understand all the concepts, and there's some feedback that I will still internalize and, you know, not take personally, but kind of be like, oh, I thought I was better at this. And then I, you know, use it as a referendum on me. So it is very hard to separate those things. But, you know, ideally, that's why your manager should be skilled in having those kinds of conversations. And you should be talking about, like, your performance as an employee, not you, like, in general, not, you know, and you're never going to improve. It's all about the communication with a performance review. One of the big things we say in HR is that you should never be surprised about your rating or what your manager has to say. If you're going into a performance review conversation and you're shocked by your rating, either your manager is really not communicating, or maybe there's been a disconnect between the two of you. But but that is a problem. And so for people, like, they should be having these conversations with their managers, and their managers should be meeting with them kind of throughout the year informally. And you know, you should have a sense of sort of where you're at. I think that helps to separate, you know, the referendum on you as a person, because you're absolutely right, Grant. It is a part of a lot of our identities.
Yeah, and a lot of the times you're the one creating these benchmarks for yourself anyway, right? These goals and places you want to go, or improvement, I guess. And it comes down to the value that you have with work as well. So it's interesting to maintain this relationship and continue it, as you said, throughout the year, Alicia. But question, like, if you're new to, let's say, a particular workplace or company and new to performance management in this way, what happens? You know, should we be worried about how to do it, how I'm going to be graded, you know, graded badly?
Yeah, and that can be a real concern for people. Let's say you just moved into a new role, or you've started a new job. Let's say, you know, we're having a mid-year conversation in March, you started in January. Nobody's going to expect you to be, like, fully performing at that point, hopefully. You know, you're still learning the role, and obviously that's going to differ from company to company. But, you know, I mean, people are aware that there's always going to be a learning period. And your manager, again, that's part of that conversation that you and your manager should be having when you start. And then as part of the mid-year, just even to say, okay, it's been, you know, like 2 months in this role. How do you think I'm doing? What am I doing well? Is there anything I could take away to work on that you've noticed? So I think that is you know, really important as well. But again, it a lot of this is just informal conversation between a manager and an employee, and you know, making sure that you are made aware of, like, very clearly what the expectations of you are going to be. And with that, don't be afraid to ask questions. It can feel a little bit intimidating, of course, like, to, you know, go to your manager and say, you know, I want to talk to you about how I'm doing, because I think some of us are afraid that the feedback's going to be bad. But I think it is good to get the information, you know, and then at least you've got it, and then you know what to do with it. And again, you know, your manager is the one grading you, but just to also bear in mind that is one person's opinion, you know, and they should have at least facts to back up what they're saying. But if there are ever concerns about, you know, your performance rating or the performance expectations, you can always talk to HR, and that's a conversation that HR can have with you as well.
Well, it's like what you said, right? It shouldn't shock you, the kind of feedback that you're getting, because you should already be aware of how you're doing, what that improvement may look like and feel like for you, and the kinds of supports that you need. Sorry, Grant, you were going to say?
Exactly. A similar along kind of those lines. I was wondering, you know, looking back to being graded in school, which you mentioned earlier, I guess a lot of it is still a little bit subjective, but in theory, you know, you should be able to kind of get your assignment maybe regraded by someone else and come up with the same or a similar mark. But I'm wondering, in the workplace, do you see it more commonly where maybe your kind of personal relationships within your company make your grading a little more subjective, or is it the kind of thing that is relatively objective and consistent across the board, or a combination?
Yeah, that's a really good question. That's part of my role in HR. That's really what HR should be doing, is making sure that it's objective, because absolutely, you're right. You know, I might be graded by my boss as, like, you know, outstanding, and then she leaves and somebody else comes in and I'm suddenly, like, you know, needing improvement because the expectations are different. So you know, HR really should be looking at the performance reviews, having conversations with managers. Some companies will do what they call calibration, where all of the managers will sit together and discuss, you know, their employees, what they've rated them, and make sure that everybody is on the same page. So what is an outstanding look like? What is, like, you know, the average? What is in needing improvement, so that it is more objective? You know, manager, people are going to be people. There are many ways that people can show biases. You know, research has shown that people are going to be easier on people that they, you know, relate to in some way, or that they feel like is like them, or, you know, there's so many ways that you can show bias. And so part of HR's job is to make sure that that's, like, kept as, you know, as down as possible, like, so that it is a lot more objective.
Well, this has been very insightful, especially for people who might be completely new to this concept. Alicia, thank you.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
Alicia Yardley joins us on the fourth Wednesday of every month to talk a little employment and an HR perspective, because she is our HR business partner. So we'll check back in with her in April. We tend to have a lot more employment conversations around this time of the day on Wednesdays anyway. After the break, we're going to tell you what's coming up on Now with Dave Brown Thursday morning. Also, you feel like you're too old for some of the stuff that you've lived with for a very long time. A bunch of people on BuzzFeed gave their thoughts about what they're way too old for and will not put up with anymore. So we'll find out about that after the break as well.
We'll be back with more of Kelly and Ramya after this short break.
I'm Margaret Shepherd of the AMI podcast, Tripping On Air. Every month, my co-host Alex Hajar and I spill the tea on what it's really like to live with MS. Watch Tripping On Air on YouTube or download wherever you get your pods.